Hello, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Coming Back Home podcast. I'm your host, Amber Rashid, and I full-heartedly invite you on this beautiful adventure. Each week, we will take a journey in exploring different topics in the world of plant medicine and natural healing remedies. My intention is to bring awareness and shed light onto what plant medicine is, helping shift the perspective that these sacred plants are not a drug, but rather a divine and intelligent medicine. It's a concentrated drop of nature that carries ancient wisdom and knowledge from thousands and thousands of years ago to help the collective conscious expand, grow, and heal. It's a calling back home to the essence of our soul, who we are, and who we are called to be in this lifetime.
Welcome to the Coming Back Home podcast. This is a very special episode. You're used to a nice, calming female voice, but this episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm currently sitting here with Miss Amber Rashid. I wish you could see this setup we have right now. We have a full altar of crystals, sacred medicines all around us. We have an incense burning. We have rape, mambe, we got a candle lit, a diffuser going with some sort of divine something. It's amazing. And Amber's sweet dog, Aya, is sitting here with us, short for ayahuasca. But my name is Alec. I have known Amber now for about a year and a half, and Amber needs, no introduction. She's absolutely an amazing, amazing person. I kind of forced Amber into this podcast episode.
I got booby trapped.
Yeah, she got booby trapped a little bit into this one. I said, you know what? You need to sit down and we're gonna interview Amber Rashid here today. Ask Amber a couple questions of her own. She's used to asking other people questions and learning about other people, so I figured we might as well ask her a couple questions and get to know her a little bit better here. But just a quick synopsis here. Amber Rashid, she's been doing plant medicine here for 3 years, from my understanding, maybe even four, as she shared here on her podcast in the past. And she's a certified now Reiki instructor, level 1 and 2, I think hoping to progress in the future. She is a certified life coach practitioner, who she had the opportunity to do with Miss, what's her name again?
Sahara Rose,
an amazing person. Definitely check out her podcast as well. And has been working in the plant medicine community as a facilitator, and has also gotten certified to be a combo practitioner, which is pretty amazing. You know, Amber has a lot of goals for the future here, as maybe we'll get to find out here in this episode. But anyways, Amber, let's ask you a few questions here. To start, I guess, what does coming back home mean to you? what does that mean?
Coming back home to me means really coming back to your heart and coming back to the true essence of who you are. And it's actually really beautiful because I went to the Amazon, as much of you guys have known, last year, to sit with the sacred medicine of Wachuma, also known as San Pedro. And I got this download to start a podcast and share my voice and really provide like a platform where not only myself but others can come and share their experience and in a very vulnerable and authentic way. But yeah, the coming back home came to me in one of the many downloads I received last year, and it really resonated with me and just felt right and really just felt like home. And yeah, to me, coming back home is just coming back to yourself and to your own truth and to your heart and to your like soul's purpose in this lifetime.
I love that so very much. Really interesting to learn a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about that experience. You said you were doing Wachuma. Where is that, and where were you doing that? And tell us a little bit about your connection with that medicine.
So the first time I received Huachuma was in Mexico about 2 years ago when I went to get certified as an Ashtanga yoga instructor with my cousin. And really that was my first experience, but it was really beautiful, very intense. Worked a lot with, like, you know, my ancestors and releasing, you know, different types of traumas that have been passed down in the family, and because, you know, generational trauma is a real thing. But from my experience in the Amazon, I was working at a center for ayahuasca, and I just had a really strong calling to, like, get grounded. And, you know, I also just have, like, this, like, I don't know, this awareness or this perception in life or this real calling to go experience different things. And I think that's just, like, you know, stemming back to like how I was growing up in a multicultural family. And, you know, I lived in Costa Rica for most of my life and lived abroad in Scotland and different places. So I love experiencing and trying new things. So anyways, yeah, I went to the Amazon. I went to a center, a beautiful, beautiful center called Spirit Quest, who was started by Don Howard. And unfortunately, Don Howard passed away in 2019, but his daughter, Selva, is now running the ceremonies at Spirit Quest, and her main medicine is Huachuma. So I went for a week, and it entailed three ceremonies, and every other day we sat with the medicine, and two of those ceremonies entailed going out and sitting with indigenous tribes and really just, you know, learning how to be and be in nature. But yeah, I definitely left my heart in the Amazon. I remember our second ceremony, when after sitting with this indigenous tribe, my eyes really awakened to the truth of not only where I was in my life, but really everything. And I just remembered that it was going to be one of the many walks back there. And yeah, it was really, it's an experience that I could never put into words. So just like anything in life, you just really have to experience it for yourself. But it really did open my eyes. And, you know, once you see the truth, and, you know, I think we've all experienced that in some degree and to some manner, but just speaking from my experience and where I was in my life, once you see the truth, there's no going back. And I don't know, sitting with these indigenous tribes, just, it's completely different than, you know, experiencing it more in, like, a Western type of ceremony way. But yeah, I don't know, it just really changed my life. And I just had such a calling to, you know, at that time I was working in a center, just to really go back home to Atlanta, where I'm originally from, and spend some time with my family, and really just to start this podcast that you guys, I'm so grateful for everyone that's listening and supporting, my friends and my family. And really, I have to give thanks to God and, you know, my ancestors and spirit guides and all the ascended masters and everything that's of light and love that's here, because really wouldn't, you know, be able to do it without the support. And even of, it really just gave me the encouragement as well to share my truth and stand for, like, what I believe in. And yeah, I, you know, just continued to grow and expand in other ways. And like Alec mentioned, getting certified in combo and really following the calling of taking a certification course with Sahara Rhodes, who has an amazing program. And I was part of her second cohort. So that was an amazing experience, and really just ground myself in all the lessons and teachings that I got from this experience in the Amazon, but as well as, you know, other things going in my life. So yeah, I don't know if that answered the question.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, it's really just an opportunity to really learn about you. And, you know, it's been a real blessing, I know, within my own life to really get to know you better. And I think that of any person I've really ever met, you do such a fascinating job at really following your own heart and your own internal compass. And, you know, I really just wanted to learn more about you. And, you know, you've been blessed with such a wise soul that is, you know, like you mentioned a little bit, a real open-minded perspective to many different cultures and medicines around the globe. And you know, you've sat with Wachuma and you've sat with many different medicines, you know, ayahuasca, combo, you know, of all of these medicines that you've sat with, I mean, was Wachuma the one that really called you back home, or what led you back home, would you say?
Yeah, I think it was, I definitely have to give credit to Wachuma. You know, I'm so grateful, and I think all of us have, you know, had the beautiful opportunity to experience any of these medicines, just to be so grateful, because not everyone receives this calling, or that I believe in this lifetime, but just have the opportunity because they are so sacred and they've been used for thousands and thousands of years, whether it's mushrooms or bufo or ayahuasca or iboga. But yeah, I definitely say that Wachuma led me back to my heart, and I think part in that part being that Wachuma is a heart opener and it's very grounding. And you know, at this time in my life, I was a facilitator for ayahuasca and drinking a lot of medicine in such a short period of time, and being a facilitator, which, you know, not only entails holding space for other people, but you know, you are going through a process yourself when you are drinking medicine and holding space for others. So, you know, this time when I was able to go to the Amazon, it was really just time for myself and for like what I needed, and really allowed me to be grounded and, you know, go really into nature and be immersed in that setting. But, you know, I'm not perfect, and, you know, we all have our own things going on in life, but I definitely say Wachuma brought me back to my heart and to what I needed to see and hear, because, you know, I love Mama Aya and ayahuasca so much, and she really, you know, I've had trauma that I've had to work through, and I do give a lot of credit to the medicine of ayahuasca, because that was my form of therapy when, you know, I wasn't really, none of my family, which knew about an abusive relationship that I've gone through almost 3 years ago now, and wasn't really open and talking to anyone. So, you know, ayahuasca really, I remember the first time I took ayahuasca, I talked to my soul or my higher self or God, and it was the most beautiful, one of the most also beautiful experiences. And I think that, you know, that was just the stepping stone and leading me back to my heart. But it really, you know, all these medicines I just have so much gratitude for, even Rapé and Mambé and everything, because they really allow you to shed these things that no longer serve you, so you can get to that point of like coming back to your heart and to what your soul is calling for you to be in this lifetime. But that entails also taking responsibility for the things that have happened to in your life, and, you know, not playing the victim and pointing fingers, but yeah, once again, taking responsibility and facing those fears and confronting them and working through the trauma so you can get to that point, because it's a process, right? Life is not always a straight arrow. There's going to be ups and downs, and even like I said, like, I'm not perfect, and there's always going to be things that I'm going to be working on, because, you know, I believe this for everyone, that our soul is like eternal and we'll never be able to learn about ourselves in a whole lifetime. But, you know, really on the beginning of this journey, ayahuasca really, really helped me, and it continues to help me. But, you know, it was once I got to a certain point where I worked through that stuff, so then I could really focus on, okay, what is it that I really want to do in my life, and what do I need in this moment? And that's where Wachuma really played a big part in my life because I have worked through that past trauma and released it and worked through forgiveness and letting go. But then I was really able to listen to what my heart desired. And Wachuma, yeah, I love Wachuma so I love Wachuma so much. I love all the medicines.
You know, that's really amazing. Ever since I've known you, you know, Amber and I met at Rhythmia, a place where she was actually a facilitator for one of the medicines of, you know, ayahuasca. And ever since I've known her, you know, it seems like she's been living from her heart, and it's hard to imagine a time when you weren't as open to you know, the very amazing path of healing that you find yourself on now. And, you know, it'd be interesting to learn a little bit about that. How did you find these medicines? How did you end up on this path? Because, you know, from my understanding, not that long ago, you were kind of on a much different path than you are now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, where do we even begin? It's actually really funny because, well, you know, I give so much credit to my mom and my dad. I love them so much, and they did such a beautiful job raising my brother and I. And my brother was going through his own things in life, which we've talked about in a previous episode. My brother was reading the book How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, and I remember we were listening to the audiobook on the drive up to Indiana because it's about an 8-hour drive from Atlanta with my mom. And before that drive, Sean, you know, was already looking into like ayahuasca, and, you know, he was looking for his own form of outlet for help because, you know, my parents really, you know, they love us so much and are willing to do anything for us, but really at that time wanted to send him to therapy. But, you know, Sean being Sean, doing his own research, oh my god, I love him so much. He told me that, hey, like, I found this center in Costa Rica that does ayahuasca, and it's about 20-25 minutes away from our home, and this is what we're gonna do over winter break. And honestly, he had told me the word ayahuasca, and like I said, I was so deep in my own process, I was just like, okay, like, what is it? But, you know, not really being present. And even, you know, the fact that he was saying that we're all going to go do this as a family, I was like, yeah, right. I, like, no way is mom and dad going to, like, you know, be okay with that. But anyway, so I just kind of, like, shrugged it off. And then, yeah, literally, I went back to school because, you know, the school year started in September. So in November, Sean had sent me something like, you need to sign like some form. And I basically sent in the deposit and paid. We're all going to go to Rhythmia and we're going to drink ayahuasca together. And even at that time, it did not register in my brain. But I was just like, yeah, I would have to say ayahuasca didn't call me, but it's really interesting because it did, because it came into my life. And when we hear the calling, it's not always something that will be like knocking on your door. It could be something like as simple as, hey, like, have you heard of this? And that is like basically, you know, Sean saying, hey, like, you know, there's ayahuasca. So in that way, the medicine was calling me, even if I wasn't aware that it was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It's actually really amazing, you know, learning a little bit about your brother as well and the amount of love you have for him to learn a little bit about, you know, at that time in his life as well, he was going through his own processes as well as you were as well, going through, you know, this abusive relationship, really trying to figure out your own path in life. As you both went into Rhythmia for the first time, what was that like for you? Both of you, it had to in some way really connect both of you and bring you closer together.
Oh, yeah. So it definitely, not only our relationship, our whole family, like my mom and my dad, because we went and experienced it as a family, which is really kind of unheard of. And, you know, through my experience, like, I've seen now, like, more families coming together, but not necessarily, like, a whole family, but it definitely changed our family's life. I remember after the first ceremony, my dad calls me Ambi, and my mom and my brother were still going through their own process, and we went outside, and he started crying, and he was telling me how he saw my grandma Ami, and he saw me as an angel wearing all white, and just, you know, sharing a little bit about his ceremony and his visions that he had. And you know, I rarely ever see my dad cry. And, you know, at first when he told me he had to talk to me, I was like, oh no, this is the end of it. We're never coming back here. We're leaving. But to hear my dad, like, share, that was really beautiful. And so, you know, it just really, all of us changed our lives. And, you know, it's really interesting because during my time there, I, even though I fully wasn't ready to still accept what the medicine wanted to show me, we still got a lot out of it. I remember we'd go home and we all stayed very connected with, you know, medicine music, and, you know, every morning having the playlist going and dancing, and, you know, we bought singing bowls and, you know, just a lot of, remembering what's important in life. And, you know, of course every family is not perfect. We still have our own things going on, and that's life, of course, like I mentioned, but they're shorter lived. And, you know, it's just, yeah, not really, you know, being consumed and worrying about what others are doing and what others are thinking. And I think that's, you know, really beautiful, because that's how my parents have raised us. When you're doing something from your heart and with pure intention, you don't have to worry about what other people are saying or doing or thinking. You just be yourself. But it just really brought that remembrance, I think, even back to our own family. And there's a lot more joy and, you know, laughter. And
I love that so much. You know, what an opportunity for you all to go together and really embark on a very intense, life-changing experience together. For you personally, Amber, when you were there, did any sort of insight for your future, or what was the medicine, I guess, trying to teach you at that time?
Like, at that time when I went as, like, a guest?
Yeah.
Oh, to trust and surrender completely. Because I remember the first night, it was my most beautiful ceremony. I just said, okay, like, because, you know, they had given out these little pieces of paper, and, like, we had how to set an intention or a prayer. And I read it, and then I just said, you know what? I laid on my bed, and I said, you know what? Okay, I'm ready. Take me. Yeah, that's when my higher self and God, and I really talked to my soul. I didn't see it, but it was, like, my own voice, and it was, like, right next to me. And we were having a conversation about the things that were going in my life, about forgiveness and loving yourself. And so, yeah, it was the most love that I ever felt. And it was really interesting because the next two ceremonies, there's four ceremonies in total, but the next three, I was really not ready. I was resisting a lot and fighting. And yeah, I remember, you know, being really uncomfortable, and that goes back to not trusting and surrendering. And the second night, I remember, because it was New Year's, was it the third night, second or third night, but yeah, basically it was just very uncomfortable in ceremony, like, you know, had a lot of, like, it was my third ceremony, yeah, the second, it's all a blur now, my second, third time were very similar, had a lot of, like, feeling of, like, heartburn, and, like, a lot of, like, feeling like a, just complete, like, wanting to, like, you know, purge, but, like, it was just being very uncomfortable and nauseous. And I remember laying there my third night, it was New Year's, and, you know, everyone's, like, really happy and sharing, and I was, like, laying in my bed, and, you know, one of the best parts I love going with my family is, like, when we snuggle in the morning and we share. But, yeah, I was with my mom and my dad, and I just, you know, Sean was still really in his process, and I was crying a lot, and, like, you know, to the point where, like, you can't breathe. And you know, my mom and my dad are so sweet. I really love them so much, because they always give my brother and I, like, space and respect, you know, even, like, you know, even to this day, outside of ceremony, if we're going through our own thing, won't, like, really question things, will allow us to come to them. And so, you know, my parents were just there holding space for me, And I remember, you know, my brother came over and was sharing his experience, and I was just kind of like, yeah, I, you know, no visions or anything, but, you know, a lot of these feelings of the relationship that I was in were coming up and was being confronted with them. And, you know, it was really sad. And the fact that, like, you know, I hadn't told any of my family about it, it just was like, yeah, they didn't understand. I mean, they did such an amazing job raising us. So they're like, but probably thinking like, why is Amber crying so much, you know? So they know Sean and I are like best friends and we have such a beautiful relationship. So after everyone left the Maloka, my dad was like, okay, do you want to stay here and you can stay with Sean and talk to him? So, you know, it was the first time we went outside by the fire and, you know, I was just telling him like, I need to tell you something. And, you know, and yeah, I just kind of briefly told him, and, you know, it was very upsetting to him as well because, like, you know, no one could have imagined that I went through something like an abusive relationship from physically, emotionally, and, you know, even sexually. And, like, you know, growing up, like, you know, Sean used to be bullied by the guys in my class, and, like, I'm so tiny, and they were, like, you know, twice the size of me and would go stand up for him. So for him to hear something like that happened to someone, you know, he loved so much was really shocking. And so I remember, you know, I shared a little bit about that with him. And then, you know, Brad was still sitting inside and he was like, do you want to go talk to Brad? So yeah, I went to Brad and, you know, I just shared him that, like, I don't want this anymore. And, like, these feelings have been going. And so he, like, taught me how to go outside of the fire and use the grandfather fire to, burn, like, these feelings and, you know, experiences that I was going through. What did you ask me?
Yeah, just a little bit about what that medicine was teaching you at the time.
Oh, yeah, so it was really teaching me to surrender and trust, you know, and it took me a long... So, yeah, I went through... Because I've been to Rhythmia twice as a guest, and so my first time, you know, I really didn't surrender, and so my second time, I went there with intention of completely working through that trauma, and let me tell you, I definitely let it go, and I remember at one point, it was Lanyahe, I was shitting and vomiting at the same time on the toilet, and I came out, and I almost passed out walking to my bed. And in the morning, like, I knew exactly when I looked in the toilet, because it's really interesting, when you purge, you can ask, like, what is it, and, like, sometimes intuitively you just know, and I knew I had literally put my ex-boyfriend in the toilet. And I remember in the morning, I shared with my dad, and he was so, so happy, and we had a sharing circle, and, like, yeah, he was just like, yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but, yeah, he was like, yeah, I got my miracle, Amber left her ex-boyfriend in the toilet. So it was just really, you know, I think to even this day, it's really hard. Bless my parents, sweet souls, it's very still hard for them to even accept that I went through something like that, but... You know, it's been a process of, like, getting back to self-love. And I, you know, now the beautiful thing is, like, I can laugh about it. Because if you would have asked me back then, like, I would have been probably crying. But, you know, I think it just goes to even show that I've just, like, worked through that. And, like, I don't even recognize myself anymore. But the big lesson that I took away, especially in the beginning of my journey of plant medicine, was to really trust and surrender. And I think that goes back to all the medicines, you know, all these medicines are so divine and so sacred, and they know exactly, they're so intelligent. And I think, you know, there's a lot more science and research that's coming out, and I think that's so beautiful and so important. But, you know, the human mind will always want to control and know, but at the end of the day, like, we're never gonna know exactly how these sacred medicines work, especially in the spiritual aspect. And so that's where it comes back to trusting, because they are a gift from God and we are all God, and it's just another tool that we use. And you can choose to take them and fight and resist, or you can, you know, choose to surrender to the experience. And that's exactly what happened the first year. And, you know, when I went in the second year with the second outlook on it, completely changed everything because, you know, we all have a time. Everything is a timing. And there's no right or wrong. It's just, you know, when you're ready to face whatever's going on. And so, you know, I wasn't ready the first year and second year. I just completely was like, okay, like, I'm done. And, you know, I don't really, really don't want this. And I truly meant it. And the medicine, you know, really, I have to say, like, saved my life because, and that was my form of therapy because, you know, I was in such a dark place in my life that, you know, honestly, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast and, you know, God forbid that, like, you know, something really worse would have, you know, happened to me. But, yeah, it's all about trust and surrendering and, you know, and that entails, like, you know, yeah, just the medicines always know what they're doing and it always give you exactly what you need and not what you want. And I think that's about letting go of the control. And, you know, it's really interesting because it just took me, like, from a year ago now just to start getting visions on my plant medicine journeys. And, you know, the medicine, it's really important not to compare your experience to someone else because, you know, what is quote-unquote good for what someone else may need is not what you need, right? And that goes back to the medicine knows what it's doing. So you just have to trust in that. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, if you feel like you're not getting what you need, and that's especially, like, you know, it's interesting because, like, even after the first year, even though I wasn't completely surrendering and trusting the medicine, I still got things out of it, but the medicine gave me what I needed in that moment. And so
it's amazing. Yeah. Learning a little bit about that, so you mentioned briefly that the first and second year, after you had that first year experience that you just talked about, how did your life change? You know, after that first year, what led you to ultimately come back home when you were given those insights on Wachuma?
On Wachuma?
Yeah, how did you get from that first year and that arrhythmia to going to Wachuma? How did your life change after those lessons
I would have to say a pretty healthy life. I was going to a hot yoga studio here and there, but I really decided, like, you know what, and I never drank a lot too. I was never a heavy drinker. But I decided, okay, like, I'm going to stick to, like, you know, they suggest not drinking for a certain amount of time to, like, keep your connection with the medicine and the lessons that you learned. I decided, like, okay, like, I really want to, like, establish, like, a routine for myself. You know, I had gone to this hot yoga studio, but I was here and there, but I was like, I really want to start going regularly. So one of my dear friends, Margaret, which I'll definitely have her on the podcast because she's a beautiful human being. We both had decided, like, we wanted to do hot yoga together and actually started going to hot yoga a couple times a week or super early in the morning. And it was really interesting because, you know, I'd go out with my friends and I wouldn't drink and everyone else would be drinking and I'd be there sober. And then I would tell them, okay, at 10:30 or 11, like, I have to go home because I have to get up for yoga. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, how are you able to do that? And I think, you know, there's been other times in my life, like, when I really want to do something, I just do it. And I think that just comes back to self-love. But yeah, I made those few changes. And, you know, that relationship that I was in,
did it go in the toilet?
Yeah, it definitely went in the toilet. And I made peace with it. Yeah, it was really interesting, though, where integration, where the lessons come in from the medicine, which I think that not a lot of people talk about. And I think it's really important. It's like, yeah, you can go and have these experiences, but are you going to take the lessons? And definitely Mama Aya was testing me because I was, even though I wasn't dating this guy anymore, I still saw him a few times. And I remember I'd sit in my room and be like, this is not right, I shouldn't do that. And I was like, and then, yeah, that was before my second time going to arrhythmia. But the medicine definitely tests you because we all have a choice in life. But I definitely made lifestyle changes as well, and even through my own things that I was going on with, even though I, you know, saw that guy a few times here and there, like, I wasn't really involved with him, and really started cutting him out of my life, and remember, I really started connecting with myself, and I love to journal, and I really came back to journaling. Yeah, I just started, you know, reading a lot and listening to podcasts, and yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you take these medicines, like, we all have a vibration of frequency, and your vibration just naturally increases, and it doesn't mean that you're better or worse than anyone else, but it's everything in life has a vibration, right? So it's just like law of attraction, like, whatever you're putting out will come into your life and fade away. So, like, with the medicine, for example, it's just interesting to see how situations and people that, like, no longer serve you just naturally fade away, and you don't have to say anything. So I saw that too, just even with some of my friends that I had made at the time there. But yeah, I think
it seems like a lot of your life really kind of started to transition after that first time in Costa Rica. When did you, so as you were making all of these adjustments in your life, you know, going to yoga, journaling, really starting to tap into your intuition about your relationship you were in at the time, how did you get back to Rythmia for the second time? Did you go with your family? Well, what called you back
again? Yeah, so yeah, we went back a second time. Yeah, and it was really and that's when I really was like, okay, like, I want to work through this trauma and release it and let it go. So yeah, that's like when I put him in the toilet, and you know, I honestly felt like I was reborn again, and it was really beautiful, because I remember in ceremony I was like feeling my skin, and it felt like a, like, you know, like, you know, just like how a baby says when we came back to Rythmia as a family. And then I got offered, you know, I was finishing my master's at that time, because the rest of my schooling was done online, like everything else in the world. So, you know, just really like trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And because I had gone to get my master's in public policy and business management, not studying anything, which what I'm doing now, but, you know, really didn't resonate with my public policy course, but really loved my business management classes. But, you know, it was in that time of like finding a job and what to do. And then the opportunity of working at Rythmia presented itself. So I took that, and yeah, I learned a lot, and it was a great experience, and I made amazing friends, and really continued to work on, myself and my own healing that needed to be done, and where I became aware that my path in this life is to help others in natural healing. And you know, it's funny, because like this came to me in an ayahuasca ceremony with my cousin a month and a half before I went to Rythmia for the second time to get certified in Ashtanga yoga. And my cousin had found this place that was really beautiful, and what really called to me, not only for my own healing before going back to Rythmia a second time with my family, was that this place offered plant medicine as well. So we did an ayahuasca ceremony, a wachuma ceremony, we did combo two times.
Oh wow.
And we did bufo.
Sounds really amazing.
Yeah, amazing and super intense all in once. And so, you know, a lot of like this trauma that like from my past relationship towards the end really started to come through, even physically, because like I remember the last week of my yoga teacher training, like I had so much pain in my chest and in my back shoulder, like I couldn't even, you know, do like downward dog, for example, or put any pressure on it. And I remember coming back home to Costa Rica in December, a few weeks before we went to Rythmia for a second time, I actually went and got a chest x-ray just to make sure there was nothing wrong. And yeah, it's just really, it's really evident how trauma stays in the body and how it can evolve, but it all was just being released. But my main point was in the ayahuasca ceremony we got, I remember being a healer came to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, no way, like just denying it, and like, no, how am I gonna tell my family this, you know, I just finished my master's, like are they going to accept it? No way. So it's just really funny how things work out, because then, you know, like I said, then a few weeks later, went to Rhythmia for a second time with the family, and then the draw, like a opportunity presented itself to work there.
How long were you there for?
I was there from March 1st to July 11th, which is really significant for me because my birthday is July 12th. So
all synchronicities, right?
All synchronicities, and everything happens for a reason. And so during my time working at Rhythmia, I, you know, learned a lot, and then really built a beautiful connection with the medicine, because not only did I work as a facilitator 2 to 3 times a week in ceremony, but, you know, I worked at the front desk welcoming people, and I worked in breath work as well multiple times that during the week that it was held. But, you know, as I further developed my connection with the medicine, you know, the calling of like being in ceremony, it just felt natural. It felt home to be there. But I will never forget, you know, one ceremony when I was, it's really interesting. Before I saw my hands and my feathers come alive, because actually in January, when the second time when I went with my family in ceremony, when I was in complete trust and surrender, I remember my hands going crazy in ceremony, clearing its own energy. And like, I didn't really fully understand what's going on, and that was like my own gift that was being presented, but I wasn't aware at the time. But in ceremony, I remember,
were you working at Rhythmia at the time?
That was when I was a guest. Oh, wow. One of the nights, yeah. And I was working through a lot of trauma and stuff, and a lot of, like, I felt heavy energy in my hands, both of them. It's really hard to explain, especially when you can't see me, but naturally they just started moving. It's just like I have a lot of energy moving through my hands, and it's just clearing the space. And so, but yeah, that happened when I was a guest. But then when I started working at Rhythmia, like, I really started connecting with my gift, and really accepting that this was my path and really stepping into that. So, you know,
When you were at Rhythmia, did you deepen that connection with your hands and the gifts that you were kind of presented with as a guest?
Oh yeah, totally. And that's like what I was saying. Like, I totally, like, I'm so grateful for Rhythmia, because it really allowed me to accept my gift. And like, my beautiful sister, like Tiara, I was sitting working with her that night. I remember I was clearing her energy, and I was like, Tiara, I was like, this is not me, this is the medicine. We were both giggling so much. And then, like, you know, I had like beautiful feathers that I'd picked up from another dear sister of mine, and that I was given the opportunity and allowed to use in ceremony. I remember, like, whenever they were in my hand, they always wanted to work. And so I just really, after that, like, I remember that night, my hands were, like, going all over my body, clearing my energy from my head to, like, wow, my heart and to my arms and to my hands. And I remember, like, at one point, I put my feathers in my hand, and this must have been like halfway through ceremony, and you know, I was drinking ayahuasca working, and like I started putting the feathers like over my heart, and I could see my whole soul light up. It was just like, you know, like a heartbeat, like boom, boom, but like white and like super intense. And then, but yeah, I'm really thankful, because my time there, it really allowed me to come back to that connection with myself and accept my path as I think it's really something for not only myself but others to be aware of. Like, we don't heal others, people heal themselves, and that's the medicine's job. With a job as whether it's being a facilitator, someone holding space, or when serving medicine, is just to be a clear and open channel so that the divine and these medicines can come through you to do the work. You're like not the one taking responsibility. Like, I will never heal someone else. Someone can heal themselves. And it's like, Because when you do that, you're giving the power back to the individual. And it's like, if you're saying, I heal right. you, it's like you're taking that power away from them. And I just noticed that my gifts are to, you know, help hold space and for other people so that they can allow for like their own healing to happen. So
it's amazing, actually. It's really quite incredible. So as that time came to an end with Rhythmia, what kind of were you able to continue that you know, channeling that those gifts and the lessons you learned while in the medicine?
Oh yeah, like I said, like went to the Amazon and, you know, my eyes really just opened to the truth about where I was in my life, where I was working, and, you know, just about everything. My eyes have never been so open. I think a lot of my close friends can definitely attest to that. And I continued, you know, as I said, after that experience in the Amazon, I put my 2 weeks in at Rhythmia and I followed my calling and my heart. And yeah, I just went back home and it was a real time to be with my family and integrate everything that I had learned and that I experienced. And then it was kind of like, okay, like now what, you know? And my mom had always told me, like, Amber, you'd make a great life coach. And, you know, here friends would tell me that. And before I was like, yeah. And then it was really, I just like kind of brushed it off. And then with pandemic, I had started like following Sahara Rose. So I guess it was already calling to me.
All in divine timing, right?
Literally. So when I went home, she had just finished her first cohort of life purpose coaching certification for that first cohort. And so she was opening a second one. And I remember it was like a month before those, and it was being released. I was like signing up for like the emails for when it was going to come out because I wasn't exactly sure. But I remember sitting in the airport, and then I remember like they had I just got an email you could sign up for the course, and like immediately like I signed up for it. It was like such a strong calling. It was like not something like, oh, like should I do this, should I not do this? It was like a yes. And when you, I think we've all had that times in our life when there's just like an absolute yes. And so yeah, I signed up for that. And then yeah, life took a really interesting turn. It was interesting because, like, you know, I'd sat with Combo several times before, but I just, like, really felt that I wanted to sit with the medicine of Combo again because it's just a beautiful cleansing on the mind, body, and spirit on all levels. And I just thought, like, you know, especially with everything going on in the world, people being sick and stuff, would just be a good, like, detox in general. So yeah, it's funny how things come into your life and call you, but I was looking for Combo, and I couldn't find anyone serving medicine in Atlanta, and then enrolling in a course to be a practitioner. And then I remember telling my mom, okay, I'm gonna go do this course. And then she was like, I want to do it with you. And I was like, okay, Mom, but this is like, we're not going to go sit in ceremony for videos. This is like an actual, like, going to be a pretty intense course of sitting with medicine 2 days a week for 8 days straight and like actually learning how to serve the medicine in a traditional way. And like, so she was like, yeah, I want to do that. So yeah, then my mom ended up coming with me and we both got certified in Combo. And
what a blessing January. To go with your mom, you know,
and do such my God. Yeah, it was really beautiful. Because I don't think a lot of people have an opportunity to real bonding experience for us.
Yeah, I'm sure. It had to have been. It's really incredible.
And a lot of releasing and a lot of shifting and moving. Yeah, so then I got certified in Combo at the end of, or in the beginning or end of February. Like I said, time is a blur. I don't know. So much has changed. But yeah, I got certified definitely in February of this year. And so I was doing my life coaching and continuing my podcast. I'm very grateful for everything. So you were asking, if I could stay connected to my gifts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so yeah, I think, you know, especially because at that time when I was at Rhythmia, I really did love it. And I love the fact, you know, I really felt at home in ceremony. So I was like, how do I stay, you know, connected with the medicines? But I think it's really important to be not attached to anything. Because everything has a divine timing. So I really surrendered to like, okay, like, you know, I do want to be Facilitating medicine, whether it's with ayahuasca or I loved my Wachuma experience, you know, to go study with other medicines, but when the time is right, it will come. And that was the same thing with combo, even though I was looking for it. Like, I wasn't looking for a practitioner's course. I was looking up so many websites, and then I was, you know, yeah, and then I was like, you know, this thing just came to me a few months after, and it just felt right, and so I went with that. So it was just really interesting, and I felt like that really gave me a way to stay connected with my guests. But, you know, even outside of that, we're always connected, right? We're always, you don't need medicine to stay connected to your gifts and your ability. Really interesting, because my brother always says, you're the one in the family that always stays connected with the medicines the most, and, you know, always staging in the morning. Like, I normally have this routine where, I mean, I have to be honest, I haven't been doing it recently, but I always have like a sage like bundle in my bathroom, and after I always sage myself, and, you know, before going to bed and washing my feet and saging myself and, you know, really praying and meditating. And so, yeah, it's like a calling, you know, and it's, everyone has their own calling in life, whether it's plant medicine or not. I mean, everyone has a role in life, and everyone has to go to what they feel called to, and what one may be called to is what another is not, and that's perfect, because, you know, it's not good or bad, it's just the way it is. And, like, yeah, I just, you know, found my calling, and it just kept coming back to me in, like, very interesting ways. And, yeah, we're all meant to be where we're meant to be in that moment. And then, you know, even now, being back in Costa Rica, being back home, it's so beautiful, because got certified in, like, shamanic Reiki level 1 and 2, and totally was not looking for that experience at all. I went to go sit with a beautiful tribe, the Yawanawa from Brazil, and the next day there's beautiful human being and soul named Manoush, and she was like, yeah, I'm like holding this like certification course, and yeah, there's still room if you want to come. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'd said a year ago, that'd be really, and it's really love to do Reiki, because I know I hold so much energy in my hands, and to channel it, like, even not under the influence of, like, plant medicine, which is really interesting, because, like, I can still channel energy through my hands, but to really do it in a way that's, like, more ceremonial. So, yeah, so Reiki came. And so, yeah, I've been able to really connect with my own gifts in that way, and it's been really, really beautiful. And that also just came into my life. I was like, I had put it, like, you know, you put things out to the universe and you're not being attached to it, and seeing what comes and goes with what resonates. And yeah, I guess it was meant to be, because I did it and it just felt right. But yeah, those are some ways.
It's such a blessing to learn more about Amber. You know, she, ever since I've known her, she does such a magnificent, she just has a very, you know, captivating presence, which is such a blessing. She's always giving, always helping, you know, always there for others. And it's just a real opportunity to learn more about her. You know, I kind of forced her to do this and talk about her. But, you know, I think it's really important to learn about her, because, you know, her path is amazing. And to learn about, you know, it's very symbolic, you know, as you were talking, it really made me think of coming back home, that as you've come back home and you've centered yourself in your own beliefs and the lessons that you've learned throughout all these different experiences, that you are continuing to attract more of these gifts and more of these blessings into your life. And I think that's really what you're trying to do here as well, is to help people find that for themselves, whether that's with plant medicine or not, like you talked about.
Yeah, 100%. And I just, like, really believe, like, what's meant to be in your life will be. And sometimes, like, we want to control situations and outcomes and, you know, people and things, but it all comes back down to trusting and surrendering. And this whole year has been really, I feel like, a spiritual death and rebirth, because so much of my life has changed from my own, like, personal relationships, from the people I've been dating or my friends, my family, certain communities I was involved with, and, you know, situations and opportunities, things just fading. And, you know, I've really set this intention for my whole year, and with every ceremony that I've gone into, fully release anything that's not serving my highest purpose and self, so I can truly step back into my heart. And I feel like it's pretty evident, you know, the way my life has been shifting and moving so much, because, you know, as I continue to release, and, you know, things are just coming and going, and it's, you know, just being comfortable in the uncomfortable, because, you know, you can't pretend that's like walking this path in spirituality, even being a facilitator in holy space, that's always going to be like love and light. It is uncomfortable, and just, you know, accepting that and trusting that, you know, the divine and like God has a plan. A lot of uncomfortable things have happened this year, and, you know, everything happens for a reason, and there's always a purpose. And I think it's important that to remember that we always have all these tools around us, whether it doesn't even just have to be plant medicine, it can just be even meditating, and, you know, whatever it may be, listening to uplifting music or whatever resonates with you, but using the tools around us to help you and move that energy, because they're not just there for the good times, they're also there for the bad, and that's what helps you get through those things. And I think it's beautiful, because my parents always raised my brother and I, like I said, to like live from our heart with intention. But it's just, yeah, interesting, as I've had the intention of releasing things that don't longer serve me or are not serving my higher purpose, that how I live my life, and I always say this to my friends and the people that I'm dating, anything in my life has to be aligned with my morals and values and integrity and honesty and respect. And I think that's why a lot has shifted in my life as well, because things were not of what I just mentioned, and just being comfortable with that, because, yeah, life is so beautiful, and we only have the present moment, and it's really a gift, and there is a divine plan. And, you know, my eyes continue to open every day, and now I'm seeing the bigger picture and seeing, you know, and I'm still learning, and I'm not perfect, but learning and seeing where I'm meant to go in life.
Definitely, definitely very, very beautiful. And thank you so much for taking the time for us just to learn a little bit more about you. What an opportunity. And if any of you are interested in any of these resources that Amber talked about today, whether it's life coaching, combo, or Reiki, be sure to visit comingbackhome.co for additional resources and one-on-one consultations with Amber. Again, thank you so very much, Amber, for taking the time to share a little bit more about your journey and kind of where you've been and where you're going. We, you know, I'm very excited to see where life continues to take you, and see where your path continues to evolve you towards. And so thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a guest on my own podcast. I just feel really humbled. I'm really grateful for you and for interviewing me, and I feel honored to be on my own podcast.
Yeah, you should feel honored, you know. It's a real blessing. Definitely a real blessing to hear from Amber Rashid. She's used to always interviewing other people, as I said. You know, this is going to be a really special episode. So we got a whole altar set up. We got a whole bunch of sacred divine medicines around us. And what an opportunity. So thank you for allowing me to hold space for you. And thank you for holding space for me. And thank you.
Aho.
Aho.
Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to the Coming Back Home podcast. You can connect with me on social media platforms such as Instagram at Coming Back Home. Please like, share, and subscribe for more conscious, heartfelt, and healing content. If this episode resonated with you, please leave a review of my podcast on Apple or the website comingbackhome.co. Remember, it's a calling back home to the essence of who we are and who we are called to be in this lifetime. May God always bless and guide you, my brothers and sisters, and lots of love and light as always.